It's back for 2014, the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.
It's the Football Sack Podcast, and it's, what day is it today? Tuesday. And it's day, what day is it of the World Cup? Five? Six? Four? Not even sure. And that's a good sign of a good World Cup. You lose, you know, like when you're on holidays and you lose track of the days? That's, and you're having a good holiday? That's how I am right now. Although, if anyone's been listening since episode one, I was like that on episode one as well. Welcome back to the show. My name's Jack, and Christian is to my left, and Pat is to my right.
Are you on?
I'm good. Christian, you've gone for the mime option, which generally on radio and in podcast land isn't a great way to broadcast.
The wave doesn't work?
No, absolutely. So if anyone heard air rushing past the microphone, that was Christian waving to you. Today's show and all of our shows are sponsored by Banking on Football. Get a great deal on your banking and score cash for your club at the same time. Go to bankingonfootball.com. Today's a dual interview show.
Again.
Back-to-back dual interview show. So we haven't got heaps of time and we want to try and squeeze it into a halftime break during the football. So we're going to quickly wrap up last night's results, starting with the 2 a.m. game, which was Germany 4, Portugal 0. The biggest result of the tournament so far?
Biggest result, yes, maybe. Actually, I think Netherlands 5, Spain 1 is probably the biggest shock.
Totally forgot about that, yeah. Right. Second biggest result of the World Cup so far, would you agree?
Well, obviously in terms of goals scored, but look, I don't think people went in there saying Portugal were going to be a big threat. I think people were confident in Germany. You know, Germany had the young squad last World Cup. They did well. They had another 4 years' experience with generally the same core players. Portugal hadn't really strengthened. Ronaldo is Ronaldo, but the rest of the team's built around him, and they're not a generally cohesive unit. So Germany came in here, did a job. And to be honest, the biggest shock of all was that Predictoroo picked Portugal in the first place.
Adding insult to injury for Portugal in that game.
Yes, Morales. Yes. Did you see the photo of him on Twitter?
I still haven't seen it. You've told me about it.
Yes. Apparently, he's standing behind the referee as he's given the red card to Pepe.
Yeah.
And giving the big two digits, two fingers,
2 digits that you're giving Christian and I right now.
Yeah.
We're copying it.
I'm giving it to you. But apparently,
if somebody's walking past the studio, that's making very aggressive gestures at us.
Apparently, the Portuguese Football Federation come out and said the gesture was actually not targeted at the referee.
Oh, yeah.
It's been misinterpreted. Apparently, doing the two-finger digits is telling one of these defenders that he's actually going to move to central defense.
Oh, right. So, it was a formation switch.
Yeah, formation switch. So, he's giving him the finger.
Yeah.
So, okay. I don't see how that...
I don't buy that for a second. Yeah. But I tell you what, it's a good...
I'm giving you the finger right now. Yeah. I'm actually saying you have nice hair.
Yeah, oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks. I thought that you wanted to do a formation switch, come sit over here, and I was going to go sit over there. So, of course, all of this is... A lot of this is visual. It's making terrible podcasting.
Yeah.
But it wasn't the only finger used in the match. Was it?
The German coach, he's been caught again.
Yeah, Jogi Löw, he's a serial picker.
He is a serial picker. Yeah. It's Kelly will come board to sponsor with him soon.
Do you know what it is? It's actually it's Germany's version of Predictoroo. He goes up his nostril and tries to pick the result from games.
No, right.
There you go. If anyone's actually seen the video?
Yes.
He's
having a good old pick. He's picking a winner.
Normally you'd wipe your hands.
Yeah, yeah.
He's just going straight for the handshake.
Yeah, with Ronaldo. So, bad day at the office for Ronaldo got worse because he got booger hands as he left the field. Iran also played Nigeria overnight. We're not going to dwell on that too long. Or would you like to throw something else?
No, not normally something you'd mention, but I thought it's worth a note. It's the first draw of the World Cup.
The first real boar fest.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Nigeria had a lot of chances.
I don't think it was a boar fest. Not that I paid too much attention, but there was a lot of chances. So it was edge of your seat sort of stuff. It was just no satisfaction in the end, you know?
You say it wasn't a boar fest. We watched the highlights before and you said, I watched this game last night and I don't remember any of this happening.
But so look, it's okay, I'll explain this because, you know, sit on the edge of your seat, you know, it's exciting, but there's no satisfaction. So it's like going to the strippers, and like the strippers, you deny any knowledge of it afterwards.
Right. That is a very tedious link, but we'll go with it. So Iran 0, Nigeria 0 in our first boar fest. Ghana USA was another one.
Absolutely cracking match that was.
Goal after 32 seconds, which was fantastic. The Football Sack tweeted a fantastic picture of Scott Chipperfield with a big grin on his face with the caption Scott Chipperfield 32 seconds into the Ghana USA game, which I thought was very funny. Ghana, plenty of shots. They couldn't finish the sentence this morning. Their build-up play was okay, and shots galore over the bar.
The possession was fine in terms of the possession amount, and the commentators at halftime are saying that they're not using effective possession because they're not scoring. Well, I think they probably were, to be honest. They just weren't finishing. So yes. That's not effective possession. That's just not being able to finish. It's a bit crap in front of goals. And
huge result for America.
Huge result. So they scored. They thought it was going to be a draw because about 5 minutes ago, Ghana scored the equaliser.
Yep. I knew it wasn't going to be a draw because I had a multi bet on for Germany and two draws. So as soon as they drew level, I thought there's still a goal in this game. Just enough time to screw me here. And there was. So the Ghana shirts, though, for me, they could have been a little bit tighter. I couldn't quite make out the lower intestine. So I got everything else. It was like having an anatomy lesson. So anyway, that's overnight's games covered. We should give a plug to Southern Cross University, who let us record in this studio. So thanks to them. And Rivadeci's Pizza in Brisbane, near Suncorp Stadium in Milton. If you fancy a slice of pizza 24/7 and a beer during the World Cup, get down there and have a feed. We are going to get our first guest on the show in just a moment, so sit tight and wait for the drums. Joining us on the line now is goalkeeper of A-League fame with Gold Coast United and the Western Sydney Wanderers, Jared Tyson. Thanks for joining us.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Mate, we'll jump straight in and talk about the World Cup because that's the reason that we're doing the show and that's the reason you're on the show. What's been your highlight of the tournament so far?
Oh, look, there's been a lot, really. I mean, there's a lot of highlights that have gone on throughout the World Cup this morning, getting up and watching Germany put on a show. Obviously, you like to see the big countries playing against the other big countries and doing well. So watching Holland absolutely dismantle Spain the other night was also quite enjoyable to watch as well.
Speaking of Holland, how do you reckon the soccer is going to go against them?
Well, look, we're both coming off very different results. Obviously, we're coming off a disappointing result in the way that we lost 3-1, but certainly positive in the way that we played in patches. And Holland are obviously coming off a devastating win, which is going to leave them full of confidence coming into the game against us. Will they maybe underestimate us a little bit, or will they become a little bit cocky? Who knows? But we certainly have a very good record against the Netherlands, and hopefully all of the boys can prepare well and put on another very good performance against Holland, and hopefully pick up a point, or can we dream and say all three?
Tyus, we're finding on Twitter is that a lot of people, especially Australians, have sort of adopted a second nation to follow during the World Cup. Have you got a second team you've picked out?
Look, to be honest, when I was sort of asked in the last couple of weeks who I thought was going to win, I certainly backed a South American team. I've got a lot of friends back in Western Sydney of South American heritage, and they're certainly trying to coerce me into supporting their team. But I think if I had a second team for this World Cup, I think it'd be Argentina.
A question that we've asked a few guests, so we'll ask you because I think it's a good question, is everyone gets asked who they think is going to win the tournament. You've sort of mentioned there that it'll probably be a South American team. Which team do you think will exceed the expectations that are on them the most?
That's a very good question. I mean, everyone's come into the World Cup with different expectations. There's certainly, countries that are just happy that they've qualified for the World Cup. There's ones that, their ambition is to just get out of the group stage. You've got teams like Belgium in there that everyone's saying is the golden generation of their footballing prowess, I suppose you could say. And whether they've got big expectations on themselves or not, certainly, the world is hoping that they're going to go a very long way in this tournament. So, we're one game into the World Cup and, not even finished the full round with Belgium and the other likes playing tomorrow morning. So it'll be interesting to see how things develop after the second group games. And then we'll have to see after that about who surprises people and who goes on to have some real success.
Some footballers, footballers are sort of different. Some footballers love watching football 24/7. Others, if they're not playing, they tend to like to get away and not watch it. Which camp are you in? Are you up all night watching the World Cup games, or are you just watching highlights?
Definitely. Yeah, no, there's definitely footballers out there that once the work on and off the field is done for them, they like to stay well away. But I'm certainly the opposite. I've got a very football orientated group of friends, so we always like to get together and we're making plans as we speak to try and catch up to watch the Socceroos game and a lot of the other World Cup games at 2 o'clock in the morning or whatnot. So I'm certainly one of the football fanatics that loves football in all aspects, and the more I can watch, the better.
I think a lot of fans love the professional footballers who they can sort of see parts of themselves in, such as, you love football, you love watching it, so they can see themselves sort of in your position and you gain a lot of respect from that. What got you that level? What was it growing up for yourself which made you fall in love with the game so much?
I suppose I've been playing it since I was 6 years old, and when you play something and you know you look forward to going outside and kicking a ball, you look forward to the weekend and that Saturday morning when you meet all your friends and you play football and you know kicking goals, saving goals, whatever it is. It was just that enjoyment of playing the game first of all that really got me into the game, and then obviously as you get older, you start to watch more professional games, you learn and you study the other leagues and what players you aspire to be like. And I suppose, you know, growing up, there are a lot of players that I aspired to be like that are playing in this World Cup and some that aren't playing in the World Cup. But, you know, the big games are the ones that when you're really passionate about something, you want to watch. You want to watch how the best players in the world go about their business and just sit back and dream about one day being in their shoes.
All right, mate, we'll wrap it up with the be-all and end-all question. Who's going to win the tournament?
Look, like I said, I think it's going to be a South American team. I think, you know...
You got to pick one of them, mate. You can't just pick the continent.
I'm going to say, and I think a lot of my friends back in Western Sydney will appreciate me answering it this way, but I think Argentina may pick Brazil to win this World Cup. I think they've got the squad to do it, and I think it's been a long time in the making. So I think I can see Lionel Messi lifting that trophy at the end of the tournament.
Fantastic. Thanks very much for your time, Jared.
Not a problem, guys. Have a great day.
All the best. Cheers. Our next guest on the Football Sat podcast plays his guitar for a living in the band Ballpark Music. His name's Dean Hansen, and he's joining us on the show. Thanks for your time, Dino.
G'day, mate. No worries. Thanks for having me.
It's a pleasure. So we'll start off by getting you, because you're not a football person. We had to do this with Michael Beveridge from Big Brother yesterday. What's your football background, mate? Prove to the listeners that you're worth them listening to.
Football background. I played football until I was about 16 and then had a big gap, then moved up to Brisbane, went to the A-League 2011 Grand Final, left before Raw scored their two goals in extra time.
Tell the story, mate, about the roars, hearing the roars from outside the ground and how painful it was.
Oh, man, ridiculous. I just remember sitting in the stands, and it was my first game I'd ever been to of A-League, and there was a Central Coast guy just next to us just screaming. He was so happy that they, you know, had the win in the bag, two goals up. I just remember thinking, oh, let's leave. And then as soon as we went through the stadium where the security stops you at the door, heard a huge roar and thought, oh, great, consolation goal. Like, then walked down, what street? Must have been Caxton Street. And yeah, and a couple of minutes later, another huge roar. I remember thinking to myself, oh, it must be Central Coast winning the game. And then I thought, the roar was way too big for them, and they didn't have that many fans there. We kept hearing, no one left the stadium, kept hearing a bit of a buzz, and then, yeah, realised that it must have gone to penalties. And then as we were walking down the road nearly to the car, this old guy was sitting at the front of his house listening on his car radio on ABC, I think, and yeah, so we stood there and listened to Raw take the game. So we were devastated. So basically, I owe it to them to be a lifelong fan.
Beautiful. So what I'm interested in is, obviously you played as a kid, but now you're part of probably one of Australia's sort of biggest original indie bands going on. How did you make that transformation? How did you go from footballer to Australia-wide famous?
I don't know. It's a bit strange. I always wanted to do something either sort of music-related or sport-related in my life, whether it was cricket or football. I think I always had a twin brother, so we were always playing cricket together or playing football at the front, or, you know, one day picked up our instruments and started jamming together. And I think I'm too short to be a fast bowler for Australia. I don't think I was fast enough to be a striker in football. So, yeah, music just seemed to be the one that I was actually best at. So I think that's why I stuck to it.
Mate, have you been watching much of the World Cup? What other activities do you do during the World Cup? Do you get World Cup fever?
Yeah, absolutely. I've watched a lot more of the last World Cup because I was staying up sort of all night and going home at 6 a.m. I've been more of an early riser for this one, getting up for the early... Not staying up till the 1:30 games, but getting up in the morning. And I've had nothing to do during the day, so pretty much watch the 8 a.m. game and then watch replays all day on SBS.
Sounds like a good way to spend a day, to be honest.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, it has been. And between games, you know, I'm on FIFA playing PlayStation. I bought a TV yesterday that actually has football mode on it. There's a button.
What is football mode?
I don't really know, to be honest. It makes it sound a lot worse, and it looks no different. So.
Wow, well, sounds like a great feature to have. Wish my TV had that.
Yeah, it makes the makes the crowd really loud, which would have been good with the Vuvuzelas, but unfortunately not this time.
So if you're spending all day sort of sitting around watching the football and stuff, are your band members getting frustrated? Does this mean there's going to be no tours or no CDs coming out from Ballpark Music anytime soon?
I think two of them, our singer Sam, he's probably not too interested, and Jen, our bass player, is probably not too interested either. But Daniel, my twin brother, and Paul, our keyboard player, we're all mad into it, and we've got a big comp going on, playing with a few of his mates and on FIFA on Xbox. We played our first round the other day. I think we've got to play 64 games all up or something like that. For 5-minute halves. We sat around for hours the other day playing everybody, and we all have different teams in each pool. And I think, yeah, it was a perfect time for us to have some time off, but it was just fortunate that it fell, yeah, during World Cup time.
Let's do the right thing by you and give your upcoming tour a plug. Tell us what sort of dates we're looking at and where people can get tickets.
Yeah, the tour kicks off in September. Tickets, more ticket information, can be found at www.ballparkmusic.com underneath the tour section. And yeah, it should be a very good tour, and yeah, it's a good way to celebrate Australia inevitably winning the World Cup.
All right, mate, we're going to finish off by asking you who you think is going to win the tournament. Who is it?
Germany. Germany's my tip.
It's not a bad tip. I don't think we've had any guests tip Germany yet.
No, not yet.
I think
yet.
Pat did, and that was about it.
Yeah, I'm not saying I want them to win, but I'm thinking that they will. I'd love to see the Dutch win, but Germany is my tip.
Another Football Sack World Cup podcast is in the archive.
Beautiful. We've got a new genre for guests. We've now got musician. Tick.
Tick. Stay tuned because we may have comedian ticked later in the week.
Oh, I wonder bit what day that's going to be.
Oh, a bit of a teaser. And we have another. We may have another cross-code guest on the show later this week.
Another cross-code guest.
Well, a cross-code guest. Yeah, I've got to stop making up interviews that we haven't done.
Reality, dreamland.
That's right, exactly. It's the World Cup's given me narcolepsy. I don't know if I'm awake or asleep any time of the day. Let's wrap it up and be back tomorrow.
Beautiful.
Thanks for listening, listeners. See you later.
You've been listening to the Football Sack Podcast for Brazil, brought to you by Banking on Football.